Mark 10:17, if you would, please. The Lord has had this in my spirit, and I've been trying to ask God, what exactly is this about? And Sunday, beginning of the service, he began to give me the conflict of interest. Remember that? The conflict of interest. And this keeps coming into my spirit. I've been digging a little bit more deeper in it. And I want you to go to Mark 10:17. This will be the basis of this particular message. I'll see how long God wants to keep me in this particular vein. But the conflict of interest is what I've been feeling in my spirit. So Mark 10:17. And when you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Mark 10:17 out of the English Standard Version reads this wise. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness." That means lying. "Do not defraud." That means, you know, being a schemer. "Honor your mother and your father." Hold on, I'll just make sure that's right. That's really in the commandments? "Honor your mother and father." Is that in the commandments? So we need to honor our mother and father? We need to honor our mother and fathers? Now look at those children. Look at those children. "Honor our mother and fathers." That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Okay, just making sure we all see that. Verse 20 says, "And he said to them, 'Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth.'" He said that to Jesus. "Teacher, all of these commandments I have kept since I've been young." I'm holy since I was young. I'm holy since I was in middle school. Yeah. I'm holy ever since I got into high school. I'm holy when I went off to every college in San Antonio. Not even registered, not one of them. But we were just nearby. Did y'all read the Bible? Did y'all read it? At his youth, he said, "I've kept them all." And he's talking to Jesus. Not only is he talking to Jesus, Jesus then tells him, "You said, 'I'm good.' But I said, the only one that is good is God. And so you're going to lie to God that you've kept all the commandments," like Jesus didn't know already. But watch what I like about Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He didn't even address his lying. What's this? And Jesus, looking at him, you know how daddies do. Or the moms that give you that eye. They give you that look, and if the world just stops. You know the look, right, Michael? Yeah. Mama just look at, "Oh, that's it. Done. We're done." Dogs just leave the house. They run down the street. We jump in the cars. We leave. This is what it says. It's funny. I mean, this is the Bible. It says, then Jesus, looking at him, what does it say next? Huh? No. Jesus looking at him and what? Loved him. Oh, let me get in some of y'all's parents here. I'm going to help you children out. I'm going to help you children out, okay? I'm going to help you. You parents that get mad at your kids and you just fly off the handle without you cooling off first, you ain't helping your children. You need to learn how to keep that mouth shh. Before you fly off the handle because they did something wrong. Because this is what happened. Watch this. What did Jesus do? He knew he was lying. He's lying to God already, right in his face. And Jesus looking at him. "I mean, Hafiz, I love you. I love you. Sell everything that you own and follow me." Watch this. Watch the principle here. Jesus knew that there was already all kinds of craziness going on and all that kind of lying you've been doing. "You know, I love you, mijo. I love you. Get rid of your Jordans and follow me. Watch this, watch this. I know you're lying, but I love you. Give up all your DJing and follow me. Mm-hmm. For those of you on the podcast, I'm staring at my own daughter. And she's squirming like a sinner in church. I didn't say he laughed. He was being serious. And Jesus, looking at her, said, I love you. Give me your iPhone and follow me. What happened? What happened? Oh, see. Let's see. Really? You know, looking at his daughter, listen. Give me all of your nail money that you used to get your nails done. And follow me. For some of you on the podcast don't understand. If you could just see the expressions on my beloved daughter here. Not my nails, baby. Not my nails. You're Jesus, so you don't need my nail money. No? Not that one? Okay. I'm just going to give you some examples for a little bit. That's all. Don't look at mama. Mama ain't going to save you, son. We need some Jesus for real. Watch this. He looks at him and says, I love you. Give up your working out and follow me. Did you hear the sisters? Did you hear the siblings over there? They were like, oh, hey, oh. Y'all want to start? Y'all want to start? I got this one. I got this one. I got this one. I got this one. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I love you, my son. Give me those speakers, the turntable, and follow me. See, for some of y'all don't know, boy loves music. Loves music. That's a hard one, isn't it? That would be a hard one, Jason. Yeah, look, see? 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 David, oh, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. Watch this, watch this. Watch this. It must be God. Ooh, y'all need to pray for Pastor right now. Y'all need to be in, y'all should be praying in tongues right now. I'm getting ready to talk to my wife now. Well, I tell you what, when you miss church and you just listen to the podcast, you miss out on so much. I hear that. That was a voice of reasoning I heard in my ear. Watch this. I heard the Lord speak. Watch this. Says, oh, I love you, my daughter. Give up the rice and gandules and follow me. Wait a minute. See how that affected all of our children real quick? All of our children. Baya looked at it. Hey, what you talking about? Give up that rice. Baya said, you better send me some of that Puerto Rican rice. But what did he address right here? He addressed his treasure. His treasure. Jesus didn't come against his lying. Didn't come against his embellishments. You know how we do. We embellish the truth. We just embellish. It's not a lie. I just stretched it a little bit. All I did is just stretch it so it sounds better. That's all. It's not a lie. Can you imagine trying to tell that to Jesus? I didn't lie to you. I did all the commandments. I read them. We think that because we know the commandments, we're okay. The commandments are there as a mirror to show you, look, you done messed up on all of them. I don't like those commandments. I like the one Jesus said. These two are the greatest. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor also. You had me at God, but when I went to neighbor, we We just couldn't do that one. But watch what Jesus did. Jesus did not address the sin. He addressed his heart, where his treasure is. Watch this, watch this, watch this. God is so good. He amazes me. Let me finish reading it so people say, oh, you just pick and choose. No, I don't. You lack one thing. Go sell all. Go sell two of your shoes. No, go sell all that you have. Watch this. And give to the poor. Well, that would have been easy if your heart was there. And you will have treasure in heaven. Not only you say go sell, but you have treasure in heaven. Here's what we have a hard time as Christians. I don't want to get to heaven and all my treasure's there and I couldn't spend it. Right? Come on. He's addressing. I just addressed it. I'm going to take your iPhone away and your treasure will be in heaven. You'll have your iPhone when you get to heaven. No? So like, what you said? Because it ain't going to work. There's no service. It'll be roaming. Why are you going to take away me working out when I get to heaven? I don't even have an earthly body no more. So, in other words, we get caught up with the fact it's an earthly treasure is being stored up in heaven, and we don't want to do what God is saying for us to do here. But here's the principle, what he's saying. If you give me what's in your heart, earth, I will give you what's in the heaven. And the heaven is the atmosphere. And in the atmosphere, I can cause anything and everything that you need to fall into your lap. But you first have to give me your heart, where your treasure is, your heart. I addressed some things, and I got a little upset about the rice, too, because that's a god. Maybe we can have pasta and have rice, and it goes real good. Pizza with Puerto Rican rice. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Wait a minute. Let me get with your nails over here. We're just taking nails. But no, wait a minute. He's getting to the thing that's personal, right? Personal thing. That's what he's talking about. You have to make your sacrifice personal. This is not a message for tithes and offering. So just relax. That's why we did it up front. It's done. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Y'all look at me like, oh. They start putting their pocketbooks away and they're sitting down real tight like, I already gave. Done deal. Done. But watch. What he's talking about is the principle here about the kingdom of God. The conflict of interest. Because what's in your heart causes you to have a secondary interest as opposed to the primary interest. Okay, look here. Watch this. I'm going to finish reading verse 22. Disheartened by the saying. Dis what? Disheartened. In other words, he went right back to his heart. Sell everything I got? Lord, you don't know. I just got my car detailed. I done used a whole bottle of Armor All just on one tire. He went away sorrowful. Watch this. For he had great possessions. It ain't nothing when you say, give me that last shirt that you got on your back. So, well, I ain't got any more, so take it. Whatever. I'm going through. Just take it. Right? But he spoke about the heart. The heart. And here's what I believe that the Lord is saying for us is that, let me give you the definition of conflict of interest. If you want to take notes, you write down, or if you want to go to Wikipedia, there's where it is. Conflict of interest is a situation occurring when an individual or an organization is involved in multiple interests, one of which could possibly corrupt the motivation. Did you hear that? Motivation. Let me know, and I'm going to stop right there. That's only the first point. Your conflict of interest comes when something other than what God has placed in your heart takes you out of the will. God will place something in your heart for you to do, but something within your heart will begin to have a conflict of interest, and you begin to go after what you desire, not with what God desires. When God desires something, what happens is he wants you to fulfill it to the fullest. Do you understand? Jesus came down on this earth. Why? Because he knew we couldn't fulfill those Ten Commandments. He knew it. As much as even from your youth, I've studied them, I watched, I can recite them back to you. I do my commandments. He's like, you already messed up, you haughty and prideful self, you. So I'm going to come back here, I'm going to make a way for you so that you can constantly go before God, my Father, because sin cannot be in his presence. Right? So he sends his son, so here comes Jesus. Jesus comes. Jesus was sent, right? Y'all know that, right? Jesus was sent by the Father. What did Jesus come to do? It's open question and answers. It's okay. To save us from what? Our sin. Okay, anybody else? What did Jesus come to do? Destroy the works of the devil. That's good. Anybody else? Do away with the law. Fulfill it. Do away. Yes, Liz? Restore us back to God. Good. Kids. Anybody, the kids. What did Jesus come to do? Wash away the sins from us. Okay, good. Anybody else? Other kids are sitting like in the front row and they're just like. Okay. What did Jesus come to do? Get the kids. Joe, get over here in the front. You're one of the kids. Okay. You're one of the kids. Okay, come on. Anybody. Come on. What did Jesus come to do? There's not a wrong answer. What does it mean to you? Heal. Good. Heal souls. Okay. That was three heals in a row? Okay, go ahead. No? What? Come on. What was the other one? Just think. What did Jesus come to do? Come on. You got. Okay. Come on. Restore. That's good. To you, he came to restore. What else? Protect. Oh, that's a good one. Protect you from yourself. That's a good one. That's a good one, right? Lord, protect me from myself. From myself. That's a good one. Should we hang it right there and say that's what he came to do? Jesus came to protect us and help me from myself. That's good. That's good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love the... Hey. Love the world. We good. Look. Came to love the world. What did Jesus come to do? He came to love the world so much that he gave his life. What did he give? He gave his everything. He gave his heart for us. What is his treasure? We're his treasure. All right, mom and dad in here, look at your children. If your children are here, those are your treasures. Uh-huh. Those are your children. Right there, look at them. Say, you're my treasure. Okay. Look at him. Say, thank you, Dad. Thank you. Okay. Come on. Hey, you still a kid, too. Look at mama. Look at my toy. Huh? See, I got you. Hey, that's that look like. Hey, I ain't got to say. You know I got you. I look. Gonzalo. Right, mama? Hey, mama? I love you, mama. I love you, mama. These are the treasures. Now, the adults, were his treasure too. So he said, I give of my heart, my treasure, I lay down my life for them. Because that was his primary interest. His primary interest was to come and save the world because of his love that he had for us. Watch this. I'm going to finish reading the definition. Definition. The primary interest refers to the principal goals of the profession or activity. The secondary interests are not treated as wrong in themselves, but become objectionable when they are believed to have greater weight than the primary interests. Okay, maybe y'all don't understand it. Let me just break it down. If Jesus was to come, not because if he loved us, but he put more weight on just coming to heal us, then salvation would have been secondary now. But he only came just to heal us. He only came to do the works. You know, the miracles. He didn't. He came to give us salvation is primary. Secondary falls in to the primary, as long as primary stays. What is God's primary interest? To save our soul. That's why he gave his son. Now, the secondary interest can be okay as long as we don't change the weight of it. In other words, notice we don't put the emphasis on the secondary. Miracles. You church folks missed it. He came, and the main purpose, even Jesus said it himself before he left this place, he says, go preach the good news. Go preach the good news to all of mankind. And some of it says all creation. Some of y'all want to be preachers? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You want to be preachers? For real. Come on. Come on. Hi. 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 You want to be preachers? Okay. This is how you practice. Get your dog. Creation. Get your dog. Get your cat. Get your fish. Preach salvation and get them saved. I'm giving you an example being kind of funny about it. But watch this. The moment that you begin to speak and begin to preach the good news, those words have life. You may be focusing on the little Chiquita or Piquita or a Rover, Red Rover, or Fido, Cujo, whatever. You just start, you know, you start preaching. Jesus came to set you free, set the captives free, to get soul. You are saved. You'll say, Jesus came to give you good news. He loves you. Watch what's happening. All those words that are biblical principles are being loosed into the atmosphere, and you may be talking to your dog or your kitty cat, but somebody is going to receive that by the spiritual sense, because what is in the atmosphere is the heavenly realm. And in the heavenly realm, your angels only do the work and the bidding of the Word of God. He's not saying, I got to see if that person is saved before I do any work for that person. That's not what the Bible says. The angels are waiting to see what comes out of your mouth. If it's Bible, it's going to happen. If it's not Bible, your angels are just sitting there. This joke over here, God, he's not even preaching. He's not even saying anything about it. I'm just sitting here. I ain't doing nothing. When are they going to use me? Can you imagine the angels telling God that? Because this person would know nothing but complaining, getting mad. They don't like the way the sanctuary turned around, God. Not even the pastor. I ain't got no praise team backing me up, so. We get all kinds of irritated and get mad because we're like, this. The church has to be back the other way for we feel the anointing to flow. Isn't that kind of crazy? It has to be back the other way so we can feel God. I love it. You got to have the elements all present. Colors, elements, so you can have peace and harmony. Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, all kind of hate mail is going to come my way. I know it. Well, you got to have water running that brings about peace. No, it doesn't. Makes you want to go pee. I'm just trying to tell him, Oscar. This is it. We got to have water running because I'm going to have peace, drink water. I'm going to sleep good. No, you're not. You're going to wake up. You might pee the bed. Everybody has a certain way that they want to feel things out. Here's the truth. All he said for us to do is speak the word. Preach good news to all creation. You may not be standing in front of somebody to preach them. You can be standing there like I do when I practice. Y'all don't know. Shoot. My car is saved for real. My car is saved. Like 5 times saved. Repented, even got delivered too. I start preaching in the car. I start preaching in there. And then I get home. And I look at her. And she goes, she got saved. But I know that what happens is I begin to stir in my spirit and I release what is there. The words have no boundaries. No boundaries whatsoever. A window rolled up doesn't stop the word of God. Huh? Oh, just because you got a ragtop convertible is going to stop, you know, the word could kind of ease out. No, Nothing can stop the word of God. The only thing that stops the word of God is you. Did you get? You can have your rice then. You can have your rice. Okay. Answer two. Yeah. The secondary interests are not treated as wrong themselves. Watch this. The secondary interest is not treated as being wrong. So we adapt to a secondary interest that comes in. Okay. Okay. How much is... My primary interest is right here.
It was good, right here. My daughter looking at, oh.
Primary interest. My wife. What would be a secondary interest? Go to the back. Secondary. Someone said football. Who said football? Girl, no, watch this. Watch. Watch. Primary interest. Heart. Secondary interest. I gotta help y'all for real. Think street. Another woman. What? Secondary interest would be, okay, this is my wife. Okay. Secondary interest, I'm only going to look at the woman so that I can create that, you know, to have that passion, but to put the passion over here towards my wife, and but not over here. So this is not bad, the secondary interest looking, because I haven't touchy, I just looking, but then I turn around and I keep the passion over here. Do you see how the Bible says that it would seem right, but it's not. It's not. And because nothing is being done over here on the secondary interest, we're not doing wrong. We're not doing wrong, so it's okay. So it becomes acceptable. Y'all are real quick. No, no, that ain't right. That ain't right. Let's bring it spiritual. Then you're going to be saying, oh. Okay, bring it spiritual. Spiritual is God says for you to do this one thing, and you want to put a fleece. If this is truly you, God, it has to be this, 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 and this. Then I'll know it's you. Secondary interest is making sure you know as opposed to already knowing. I don't need to know that I love her. I already know I love her. I don't even know if she loves me. I should already know she loves me. I don't know if she loves me if she goes ahead and makes Puerto Rican rice tonight and go ahead and put some beans and put some fajitas there. Then I know she loves me. All kind of fleece like that, right? No, we don't do that. No. The secondary interest is the one in the spirit that says, I will worship and I will praise on church days. But when it comes to the other days, it's not necessary until I get to church. Secondary interest becomes your personal interest as opposed to being his interest. His interest is for us to continue doing his perfected will. What is his perfected will? There's where we struggle, and there's where we try to find out, what is that perfected will? What is it? What does he want me to do? He's already told you, and it's written in red. Go preach gospel, good news to all of mankind. Well, I'm not a preacher. Your life preaches. The way you live your life preaches. The way you hold yourself in public preaches. I'm going to just get there because y'all are. The way you dress preaches. I said, the way you dress preaches. Why don't you sit down and preach from the drums? Yeah. Yeah. The way we deal with all kinds of stress preaches. The way we deal with anger preaches. Amen. The way we deal with jealousy preaches. Wait a minute. This one, Pastor, you went left. I got you on interest, and then we were talking about secondary. I had you there. Then you start talking about things that, Rejection. Preaches. Jockeying for position. How close can I get to pastor? That's a good old song. I'll preach and I'll tell you that the enemy knows how to get you at your heart. At your heart. Because when he comes in, he's not going to present to you something you don't like. Or something that's not connected to the primary interest. Jesus comes in, he gets baptized, he's driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. What does the devil tempt Jesus with? The primary interest. His identity, what he came to do, his position, and ultimately his worship. Try to get him to give up his primary interest was us. But only tempted him with the things that he came to do. Do you understand? Same thing with Adam and Eve in the garden. Here it is. It's just a tree that you can't eat from the fruit. Don't eat from this one, but you can eat of everything else. And just like the nature of humans, we want what we can't have. Someone just has to tell you, you need to have it. Secondary interest pops up. Okay. I can eat all these, just not this one, but it's fruit just like the others. So I just might as well. It's not going to do nothing. Then what did the enemy do? Tempt you with the secondary interest that made you put weight on the secondary as opposed to your primary. And that's how we get off course. That's how we get off course. And it's so simple. So simple. Sneaky! The conflict and the conflict of interest exists whether or not a particular individual is actually influenced by the secondary interest. It exists if the circumstances are reasonably believed on the basis of past experience. Past experience. Okay. Past experience. Okay. So I can help you. My church, before I got here, used to do it this way. The church I used to be a part of, used to do it this way. So we began to formulate around that which was interesting to you then. But God is trying to get rid of then to do something new for now. But we always go back to what interests us back then. And we never grow to our now. He wants us beyond our now. He says, I see where you're already at in the future. You haven't even reached your now. You're still back in your then. Your first interest should always be what God is having you do right now. Right now. You know how when God told me to change the vision of this house and the mission of this house? You're going to go out there and you're going to go knock on doors and you're going to go tell people about Jesus. No, I'm not. I ain't called. I'm called to the church. I tried it. Y'all heard me. I'm called to reach the lost in the church. Hiding behind what God spoke to me about my last ministry. See, I can talk about myself. I'm okay with it. Because when I get dealt with and then okay, God, you know what? I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to just do it your way because obviously you know better than I do because, you know, ever since my youth, I followed all the commandments. It's just like the man said. Watch it. The man came. It says that he knelt before Jesus. That's what it says in the scripture. He reverenced him. He knew who he was. But yet still out of that, in that reverence, wants to change some things because he still has his personal interest in his heart as opposed to what God's interest is. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll just let it go. Let it go. What did the man have more passion for? His money. His money instead of his soul. He had already knelt down before Jesus. In other words, he already knew his identity as who he is. Even if it was a king. Even if the only intellect that he had of a reference point was a king, he knew if he followed the king and stayed close with the king, guess what would happen? Kingdom would be presented to him. But he chose his own kingdom as opposed to God's kingdom. Okay? Can I ask you this question? Do you have a conflict of interest? Do you have a conflict of interest? Don't answer that. It's just trick. Just, do you have a conflict of interest? How do you know you have a conflict of interest? Is if God has told you to go this way and you've decided to go this way first and then this way, your conflict of interest started right here when you chose to do it your way. Or you chose to do something other than what he wanted you to do. It's not easy. Usually when God has you do something, he's going to make you go in that direction until it's fulfilled. But along the way, going in that direction, another secondary interest comes along the way. Like the ministry that you wanted to do because it was better this way as opposed to doing it this way. Slow process, in order, in line, precept upon precept, line upon line, go this way. But if I go this way, it'll be 10 years before I even get to a platform that I could begin to be at least heard. But if I go this way, I can bypass all of that order and I'll go this way and I can get it faster. You trying to pimp God? He's just trying to pimp God. I want to get there, but I'm going to go this way because I can get it faster than what you can do for me. I'm going to pimp God like that. Like God don't know what you're going to try to do? Oh, you're going to try to go that way? Okay, watch what's coming. Watch what's coming. I'm going to give the Holy Spirit charge over you to go over there and convict you so that you don't do it because I love you. I love you. Give up that ministry and follow me. Hey. Huh? What? But I was... Huh? That ministry, but I'm doing your work. No, no, you're not. You're doing your work. You're doing your work the way you want to do it, as opposed to the way I've ordered for you to be done. Because I know your nature. I know your heart. I don't know where your treasure is. Right now, your treasure is you. And I need your treasure to be me. So when you can let go of you, you'll grab hold of me. Then, what was there called space for you to learn? Once you really get a hold of me, I'll shorten that space. But you don't see it because you're more focused on your interests. I'm talking about myself, so y'all are looking at me kind of strange and crazy. Look, I was going this way. I said, Lord, if I go down this way, that pastor right there is going to hold me, not going to let me go, going to keep me doing all kinds of toilets, yard work, and doing nothing but audio visual and armor bearing and just prophesying when he wants me to prophesy. And but if I leave and I go this way and start my own, yeah, I'll even make it so that it's not religious. It'll be keep it real, and we'll make it not spiritual. Like they're trying to do it and all religious, we'll make it more about the power. And then I'll just go this way. Hit all kinds of roadblocks and five people, my family. You think praise and worship gets kind of tough now? Get five folks in there.
Power God's here.
No, no, remember, we had, y'all don't know about the stuff we had to carry around all the time. Up the stairs. And then we turn, because you know Pastor likes his music loud. And then you hear this from underneath the floor. down. This is a church. You should let me do it. And then shut it all down. Because it was all about you. See all those shirts that you went ahead and bought? Oh, yeah. All those shirts you bought? It was real cool, right? I'm going to send them everywhere. You send them to Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis. You send them everywhere. Let me go over there and testify. Cricket, cricket, cricket. God says, no, if you do it my way, my way. Watch when favor shows up. The way that you thought would have taken you 10 years will only take you 4. But do it my way. You wanted to get over there to Africa and preach over there in Africa and stuff. If you'd have done it your way, you'll never get to Africa. You do it my way and just give me 4 years. Watch what I do. You'll be in Africa before you even know it. What you say? God, really do it this way? I'll do it. I'll do it. He says, I never told you to do it any other way. Just do it this way. This is what I called you to do. Do this right here. Right here. And in the middle of you going down the first year, you struggle. You try to figure things out. You try to figure out what the real interest of the Lord is. And you begin to just tell the people, love them, love them, love them, love them. I had to teach you how to love them because you were so used to trying to condemn them like church folk. So the first year, you're starting to teach everybody about love. Love your neighbor. Love them. And then all of a sudden you get your church building, and then you get the sign, and then you're reaching people with the love of God. Oh, you're starting to get it now. You're starting to get it. Oh, the second year, now you got a whole bunch of people starting to come and things are happening. And then now you want to go and check out all this kind of weird stuff that's happening out there. You want to kind of dive into this kind of thing that's called the holy fire realm. And you know nothing about it. Just sit down, shut up, and be still, son. Nothing about it. Know about me. Watch what I'll do for you. Okay. Okay, God, I'll go back to just preaching, I guess. I'm just going to preach. Just preach. And then someone blesses you with the PowerPoint and screen and everything. And then you get more in the Word because now you can use your screen. You can use PowerPoint. You can stay on track. And things are good. You're learning, son. You're learning. Here we come into the fourth one. And now you're getting ready. You're going to open up churches in Corpus and in Houston. And you're doing good. You're going to reach people and you're going to touch people. And you're going to get there. And it's not going to go good. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep doing it, God, because I've learned something. And my failures have been my greatest successes because I realized something about his character. I realized something. He's not going to let me fall where he can't reach me. He's going to let me fall and he's going to lift me right back up. And so now in the fourth year, you're going to celebrate your fourth year. And watch this. Things are just about to start opening up for you. And then you're going to go on a cruise, and you think it's a cruise that you're going to have a good old time, and you're going to get down with your wife, and I'm going to give you so much heartburn so you can just stay in the Word and just come and meet me. I go on this cruise, man. I couldn't even go dancing with my wife. I brought my suit and everything. I couldn't even dress up. And then he says, come meet me. I want you to meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning. Get 6 in the morning? What? I'm on vacation. He said, I'm going to have you shift your church and its mission and its vision. People don't do that. Not when you start. He says, when you switch and do what I told you to do, watch what will happen. I said, okay, I get home. I told my wife, I'm going to change the mission. Huh? You going to do what? I told Alan, Elder, I'm changing the mission of this church and the vision of this church. Okay. Tells Mama, Pastor says he's going to change the mission. No, he ain't. What do you mean to change it? Change it. Y'all heard it the first time when I said it. The moment it came out of my mouth, all kinds of doors started opening. All kinds of favor and doors started opening. That's how I knew if I stayed focused on the primary vision, the primary interest of what God has spoken to me, every secondary interest that comes into my life has no weight to what he has me doing. None. So I know that God has me in place because he just shortened what I thought would have taken 10 is that are happening now. Do you understand? So I know that if we just stay focused on the primary interest, what God has spoken to you, now make it personal. What has God spoken to you? Here's the key. If he hasn't spoken to you, then you're not going to know. Go and ask. Present yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice. What's that living sacrifice? Be sold out for Jesus. Sold out. Pastor, that's hard. It sure enough is hard. It is. But we've had enough flesh in the altars to make saints of God become the devil of God. We need to have holiness back in the altars. We need to have people that say, you know what? I'm sold out for Jesus and Jesus only. Not just during the service, but even after the service. Not only after the service, but the way I live my life. So people can see that I'm truly after the interest of God. So when I get home, I ain't trying to snort up all these kind of lines. Not trying to smoke a couple of joints to knock off the edge. No, I'm living my life holy and acceptable unto Him. So that when people see me in the streets, not hiding somewhere else in a corner somewhere where nobody can see you. Like you can hide from God. How are you going to live for God? Like He's right next to you. And you're going to begin to feel some sickness happen when you start doing things you're not supposed to. And that goes for everyone in here. And there's this one too. I'm not exempt. Because He's going to bring back holiness to His altar. His primary interest is so that people can see there's a place to go. Don't get it twisted now. Don't get it twisted. He's not talking about getting religious. He's talking about you being relational. Because relational tells me I'm not going to do anything to harm her. Because my interest is in her. Oh. We just closed right there. What'd you say? Huh? What was it? I got my brownie points. Got brownie points? That's it. Look, I'm going to stop. I want to continue this because I don't want to do it injustice. I know that God is saying for us to do some things concerning His primary interest for the body of Christ. Now, just along the lines of talking to my wife, being sick, but as a reference point, I went to Walmart to go and get an oil change on a vehicle and pick up some things. And while I was there, I had to wait because of doing oil change. So I go and pick up some fajitas, okay, some beef fajitas. And then I go and pick up some tortillas, okay. And then I pick up some jalapeno peppers, okay. And along with the jalapeno peppers, I get some cilantro, okay. Now I don't just get the cilantro. I get some avocados to make some guacamole. See, now you're starting to put some things together now, right? Right? Are you starting to put some things together? All right, now watch this, watch it. And then the lady looks at me. She says, "You the one gonna make that?" I said, "Baby, I don't only cook, I clean." She says, "Your wife gonna make you smile tonight." Can I get some help, Joy? Can I get some help? Come on. Now watch this. She says, for a man to take care of his wife and his children, that tells me something about you. She says, when are you going to cook this? Late tonight, just for your wife? I said, no, this is for my kids. She said, child. She looked at me like this. She said, child. And she's just staring at me like this. Child. You better be ready. I started shaking. I thought, what's going to happen? And then she tells me like this, because if I had a man that puts his interest in family, child. And she looked at me, big old black lady, she loved me. What's your profession? I'm a pastor. Shut your mouth. I said, we were kicking it real cool. We mean shut my mouth. It's honest truth, Jack. Honest truth. She says, pastors don't do that. Not the ones that I know. That's what she said. Can you ring me up, please, so I can go? Because I felt like it was going, like, kind of like, woo. And she says, you keep doing that. Because if you can keep mama happy and the kids happy, you'll have a happy home. I didn't bring up church. I didn't bring anything else up. All I said was, I don't only cook, but I clean. Church was brought up. What's your profession? I'm a pastor of a church. Says, pastors don't do that. Not from the churches I know. Okay, let me help some of you youngsters in here. I was raised by some people that said that I couldn't sit down with my wife and eat. Because we had to let the men eat first. Remember that? In my own home. Mm-hmm. Remember that, mama? Remember that? They tried to pull that one on. I said, oh, hell no. I said, this is my wife, my house. We eat together. Ain't no man separated. That's when I knew the fruit tells you everything about someone's character. I preach right there. Shoot. Come on, Josh. Come on, man. The fruits will tell you their character. That's what she was telling me. And I was just sitting there. I just want to get my oil change and buy this so I can go. It's all right. She saw the fruit. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your life should preach to the people. Your life. Your life in your home. So your kids can see that what you believe in God for is good enough for them. Mm-hmm. So that your neighbors or your co-workers or those of you that are watching you know that something has changed in your life and it has something to do with the God that you serve. The fruit speaks, not you. The fruit. Why do you think it all started with fruit in the garden? Because it speaks. It speaks. Your life speaks by your fruit and how you act and who you act with. Who you allow in as your influence in your life. Then you want to hook up with someone that got all kinds of craziness going on. Then you wonder why the craziness is in your house. It's in your life. It's in your car. It's in your job. It's the fruit of a thing. You just now helping me. Come on. Help me. Help me. Don't back off. Over here. Your fruit and how you respect others speaks of your character, not of what you preach. The way you interact with the opposite sex. You don't want to get too cute. If you interact with the opposite sex like, hey, they know your fruit. They know your fruit. They see your fruits. In all your business. See, the Holy Ghost is already saying, yeah, listen up. But if your fruit says to the opposite sex, I respect you as a child of God. Regardless if you think they're saved or not, that's not your job. Your job is, that's my sister, that's my brother, and I got to love them with respect. And if they look at you like you're the next one on my trophy list, then you need to get to stepping, because what's going to happen to you is you're going to fall down a pit, and it's going to cause all kind of trouble in your life. Some of y'all that are single in here, listen up. If they don't love your children, if you got children, and you say, well, you know, the church doesn't look real favorably on us, and we've got kids, and we're not married, this thing. The Bible says that he loved him anyhow. And if the person comes into your life and doesn't love your kids, deuces, and move on out. Because that, for you that are single and have kids, that's your primary interest. Your children. And if they come in and they only want to love you and they don't want to love your children, See ya. Bye. And for those of you that are married, and your significant other doesn't line up with the Word of God, play on, brother, play on. And they say, yes, so you go to church, come back and tell me how church was. I said, no, you go to church. I go and get mine for me. I'm not going to get my whooping in church, come over here and try to tell you how God whooped me for you to whoop back on me. And if the man or woman puts a hand on you, they don't lose respect for you. If they lose respect for you, they'll never respect the covenant. They'll always have secondary interests. See, I brought it back. Woo! I'm just trying to help you as a people. If the house of manna and this Mexican pastor right here, it's black skin for real. If I'm not your pastor, you're in the wrong church. That's truth. If I'm not your pastor, you're in the wrong church. Get to where you hear your shepherd's voice. When you hear your shepherd's voice, here's where you go. Because then the primary interest lines up with that. What? If I'm your pastor, take heed to what the spiritual authority that has been set in your life speaks. Because when you adhere to the word, it will take root. And when it takes root, it will produce for you. Because you're in line with the primary interest of God. God will never usurp authority. He'll never usurp the actual mandate order of God. If you're where you're supposed to be, you'll see fruit. You'll see fruit. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, you'll see fruit too. All kinds of foolishness is loosed in your life. You ever seen fruit that's been stored on a countertop? It's been a little bit too long, but fruit's being displayed. Oh, the fruit's displayed like crazy. Oh, it's good fruit. It was. All kinds of flies come up now. Gets rotten. Because if they were only about the fruit being seen, as opposed to being ingested and being a part of it, it'll rot. Make sure you know where you're supposed to be. Make sure. Look, I know I need a big old praise team. I know I do. I want some drummers in here. I want some keyboarders that can really get me going along with my praise and worship leaders. It's primary interest. Primary interest is what God wants. If you're here because God sent you here, I'm here to tell you, favor to this house. So I'm going to do what a brother told me. He says, when I get into church, I'm going to rub all over the walls of the house of manna, because there's favor that is on that house. Now listen here. Keep your primary interest on the things of God. And if you're searching for a church home, it's a good home. But you better find the pastor that is called to be your shepherd. Amen. Amen. I love you. I know we're supposed to do something else. I don't know. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to continue this. I may continue it on Sunday. But primary interest. Keep that your focus. Amen. We're to do tithes and offerings. I'm like, what do I do next? Listen, if you're struggling, I don't know what that interest is. I don't know what God is telling me to do. Stand to your feet. I'm not doing it to make fun or anything. I'm just doing it for real. Stand up. And I'm going to pray so God will release what you need to know. Amen. Jesus.